your name written down. At the foot of the cross, will your footprints be found? He fashioned you in the womb of your mother. He made your footprints different than all others. He tracked your footprints as down through life you rode. But there's one place they must be found if heaven will be your home. At the foot of the cross, will your footprints be found? At the feet of Jesus, have you ever bowed down? In the Lamb's Book of Life is your name written down. At the foot of the cross, will your footprints be found? His footsteps led up to Calvary. Greater than our sin was his grace and mercy. They pierced his hands and feet. It is finished, he did cry. Death could not hold him. Jesus is alive. At the foot of the cross, will your footprints be found? At the feet of Jesus, have you ever bowed down? In the Lamb's Book of Life is your name written down. At the foot of the cross, will your footprints be found? Will your footprints be found?
All right. Thank you, Miss Jones. Please open your Bible this morning to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. I have preached several messages here recently from Ephesians chapter 4. If you found your place in Ephesians 4 out of love and respect for the Word of God, would you stand as I begin to read in verse number 11? The Bible says, "And he," that's God, "gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." These are people and gifts that God puts in his church. And verse 12 says, "For the perfecting of the saints of the work, for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that is a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now let me ask you, you think you're a mature Christian? Have you come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ yet? Then if not, you've still got growing to do. And I can tell you right now, we all have growing to do. "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Now, Paul is writing to Christians. And he's telling us here in verse 11 through 16 what we ought to be and be becoming as Christians. We ought to be learning and growing to meet the requirements and that which is set forth through verse 16. Then Paul stops and says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye Christians henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Don't you walk like the unsaved are, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of their blindness, of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness." That word lasciviousness means that if you put all of the sexual sins in one barrel, and the worst of all the sexual and immoral sins sink to the bottom, that bottom layer would be called lasciviousness. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation your old life before salvation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking evil, speaking every man truth, put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him laboring, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now I want you to go back and I want you to look in verse number 19 at one of the things that God warns Christians about that should never be in our life, something that we should guard against lest we get to that place that we're characterized by the statement in verse 19 of being past feeling. Past feeling. Now, we're not saved by feeling. We're saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, when you have a right relationship with God and peace with God, it feels good. I mean, the peace of God, the joy of God. Don't disassociate feelings from a Christian life that's right with God. Oh, the joy, being able to discern the will of God and feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit on your heart, to know as He leads you and convicts you and guides you. What a terrible thing it is for a Christian to come to that place where his heart is so hard and so cold and so indifferent that he no longer feels the tug of God. He no longer hears that still, small voice. He's past feeling. And I want to speak to you tonight, or this morning, for a few minutes on that subject, being past feeling. Father, help me today. Thank you that salvation is not by feeling or by sight, that it's by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, on the merits of God's grace alone. But oh God, what a joy it is to have that wonderful relationship with you. When you're close, when we're right, And when the Holy Spirit of God and the breath of God can be felt in our life, when there's peace flooding our soul and joy unspeakable and full of glory that we enjoy, what a terrible thing to get so out of step with God and so far into the world that we come to that terrible place when your Holy Spirit no longer has effect upon our life. Now help me as I preach this morning. Fill me with thy Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to feel your direction. I need your help. I need the breath of God upon me as I preach. And I ask you to convict every heart of every individual in this building today. Thank you for our guests and visitors. I do not know the spiritual condition of everyone here. I would to God that they all were saved and know it, but I suspect there are people here today that if they should die this morning, do not know for certain that they're going to heaven. They don't know their sins are forgiven and Jesus is their Savior. I'm asking you today to save them. Save them before this service ends. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you speak to the hearts of those that are visiting, seeking your leadership about a church home. And if this be that place, would Holy Spirit of God, you give them that direction and that peace and that certainty in knowing what they ought to do. Now, Lord, you know the needs of our heart. And while you can still deal with the hearts of individuals here in this service, would you do your work this morning? And may not one of us go home today without knowing that God moved in this service. We'll thank you for the souls saved and the lives changed and the hearts touched today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible is written by God to be obeyed, not just to be studied. In the book of Ephesians, Paul reminds us what God has done for every child of God. Now, in light of this great fact, he points out what we ought to be doing for Christ. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because we've been saved and are in Christ, we ought to be motivated to walk in unity and in love. The fact that we've been raised from the realm of the spiritually dead ought to move us to walk in purity. Some ushers ought to be alert up there to those things. We're alive in Christ, not dead in our sins. Therefore, we're told to put off the old man and to put on the new man. In verses 25 through 31, God gives us some of the things a Christian should put out of his life. Because we're now new creatures in Christ, we're to put away from our lives, the Bible says in verse 25, lying. Verse 26, anger and wrath. Verse 27, we should not give any place in our life to the devil and his work. We should put away stealing and laziness. Verse 29, we're to put away corrupt communication, such as cursing and dirty or vulgar talk, slanderous talk and such like. Verse 30, we're to put away anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 31, we're to put away bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Any kind of activity causing controversy, that's clamor. And we should put away speaking evil of people. And put away malice. Malice is a desire to hurt or injure others. Then verse 32 tells us that as Christians, we're to be people who are kind and tender-hearted and forgiving one another. In other words, we're to be very easily moved by God's Word and by God's Holy Spirit. We're to be people who are very sensitive toward God's Word and toward God's will. And then in verses 17 through 19, God makes it plain that no Christian is to become like the unsaved are. We're not to be worthless in our thinking, verse 17. We're not to live with our understanding darkened. You see, the Bible illuminates the Holy Spirit as He applies Bible truth to our life. It turns the light on. It illuminates. It makes it possible for us to see spiritual truth. Verse 18, we're not to be alienated from God by ignorance of the Word of God, or alienated from the will of God. Are you ignorant of the Word of God and God's will for your life? I promise you, if you're ignorant of the Word of God, you're going to have trouble discerning the will of God also. Verse 19 warns us that we're not to be hard-hearted and past feeling, or given over to wicked sin and perversion and greediness. Now this morning for my message, I want to major on one of the warnings that Paul gives to Christians and tells us that we're not to allow in our life, and that's that statement in verse 19 of being past feeling. According to verse 32, every Christian is to maintain a heart and a position of tenderness with sensitive feelings toward God, toward His Word, and toward His work. In verse 30, we're commanded not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. May I say to you, being past feeling, being cold and hard-hearted, grieves the Holy Spirit. Because we've become so insensitive to His workings. The Holy Spirit's work in a Christian is to convict us of sin, to reveal our spiritual needs, to give assurance of our salvation, to draw the Christian closer to God, to reveal the will and the calling of God in our life, and to lead us in God's will and empower us day by day as we serve Him. Now the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God, whether written or preached, to work on our minds and our hearts and our feelings. A person is in a very bad shape if he has no feelings. He cannot tell hot from cold. He cannot discern what is dangerous and what is not. He cannot feel sharp objects. A person who has hardened his heart against God and no longer feels the working of the Holy Spirit of God is also living in a dangerous situation and condition. You see, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is to pierce our heart. It's to bring conviction in our life. And if we have come to that place of being past feeling, he has no feeling of tenderness about the things of God any longer. He has great difficulty. A person without feeling has great difficulty distinguishing between right and wrong or what's best. What's more, he's coming to the place where he don't really care what's right or wrong any longer. When we're past feeling, the work of the Holy Spirit is without effect in our life. We ought to consider carefully these words in reference to our lives today. Is your heart tender to God's Word? Is your heart tender to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God? Or do you yawn and have a careless attitude? It's an awful thing that we allow this to happen in our life. We don't start out that way. We start out in Christ, alive and vibrant, filled with the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works on our heart that's tender. And we go through a process to get to that place where our heart grows hard and indifferent and unconcerned. We go through a process before we come to that place of being past feeling. You just don't get that way overnight. Somebody will do you wrong and hurt you, and you'll get angry, and then the anger will turn to bitterness, and your heart gets hardened because you won't deal with it as a Christian ought to deal with it. In forgiveness. It's an awful thing that we allow this to happen and we come to that place of being past feeling. A young couple, deeply in love, can begin their life together and begin to take each other for granted and neglect each other. They'll soon come to the place where they lose their feelings toward each other. Let me tell you, when a couple sits in my office and says, I'm going to divorce him or her because I no longer love them. They are saying that we have allowed things to go on in our life and we've neglected the care and attention to one another. Our hearts have grown hard. Our feelings have been dulled. Love has diminished and I no longer love him or her. What a terrible, terrible thing. They begin to do things then to hurt one another. And they say things they ought not say. And they don't even really care anymore. They're past feeling. When a Christian gets to that place of being past feeling, they begin to rebel against God's Word. And they begin to rebel against the Holy Spirit's leadership and rebel against the will of God. Oh, dear saint of God, we'd better check our hearts lest we find ourselves in that awful condition of being past feeling. What a tragic place. God's child, the product of a new birth, a miraculous salvation, has grown cold and hard and selfish and uncaring, unloving, living, hurting others with a life that ought to be a blessing to the world we live in. What is it to be past feeling? Well, to be past feeling is to be without shame. We do things willfully wrong without feeling disgrace or shame or remorse. We live in sin without any shame or sorrow because of that sin. I'm amazed at people living together outside of marriage, producing children outside of marriage, acting like it's the normal thing to do. No shame. People involved in homosexuality today and peddle it publicly without shame. People curse and tell jokes, vile, dirty jokes, use the Lord's name in vain, and there's no shame. Be past feeling is to become without conscience. The conscience has been seared by sin. There's no longer an awareness or care even of wrong that's going on in our life. A person lives in willful sin, lives without guilt or without shame. To be past feeling is to be without the fear of God in our life. What a terrible thing where the Christian comes to that place that God is not a holy, holy, holy God, a just God that blesses those that are faithful and chastises those that are unfaithful. Without fear. A person who is past feeling has lost the reality that God is a thrice holy God who hates sin. Moses never came to that place of being past feeling. Moses said, God is a consuming fire, talking about God's dealing with wickedness and sin in lives. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 31, tells us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Being past feeling is to live without regard to our relationship with God and its terrible effect on others. Dear God, Mom and Dad, it's bad enough for you to live like you're living, but you're passing it on to your kids without shame and without conscience. To continue in our sins without regard or thought of who'll be hurt or hindered by our sins as being past feeling. To be past feeling is to be without feeling or care about souls of a lost and dying world, and Christians all over this country sit in our church pews and people dying, go to hell all around them, and they don't even care. And may I say to you, that is as contrary to life in Christ as you can get. It is God's will for us to care and to tell and to witness. Many people in our churches have already reached that awful place of being past feeling. Thirdly, what should a person do about this terrible condition of being past feeling? Well, let me talk to the unsaved first. What should you do about that thing of being past feeling? Have you come there yet? Have you gotten to that place yet? Well, let me tell you, if you're even thinking about it, you ought to accept Jesus Christ now while you feel the Holy Spirit's convicting you. While you realize you're lost and even have a minute concern about it, turn to Jesus now. Come to Him quickly. While you can still feel the tug of the Holy Spirit of God, and don't delay. There could come a day soon when you no longer care and you no longer feel. I talked to a teenager not long ago, so hardened by sin that she said, "I just don't care. So what if I go to hell? I don't care. Leave me alone," she said. How sad. How sad. You don't have to be 40 years old to be past feeling. We've got teenagers that are approaching that place now. I talked to a woman in Denham Springs, Florida, dying with cancer in the hospital. She was unsaved. She had been in our church services. She had been under conviction. She had raised her hand for prayer. And now then I'm visiting her about 6 months later in the hospital, and she's dying, and I'm trying to witness to her. And she said, "Preacher, I used to care. I used to think about getting saved. But now just leave me alone. I just don't care any longer." There's no future for her but hell. Oh, my dear friend, while you have opportunity, turn to Jesus Christ. While you feel the slightest tug on your heart, turn to Jesus Christ. While you hear the gospel and it concerns you that you're unsaved and don't have that assurance, come to Christ and do it quickly. Do it now. This passage about being past feeling was written first and foremost to Christians and a warning to them. If you're saved, look at your heart and your life this morning. Look at your relationship with God. Are you past feeling? Are you cooling down? Do you battle with that don't care feeling from time to time? What's your relationship with God? Christian, you'd better be concerned. Are you unfaithful to Sunday school and church and don't care? Do you no longer read your Bible and it doesn't bother you? You no longer tithe and give to missions and there's no conviction about it? You never witness to a lost soul because there's no longer any concern in your heart about a lost and dying soul? Oh, my soul, you no longer pray for others or even your own family, and it doesn't bother you. Yet you're a Christian. May I say that you've come to that place, or you're getting close to that place of having that hardened heart, that cold heart, where your feelings have diminished. God's Word and God's Holy Spirit no longer affects us. God help us. Have we come to that place of being close to being past feeling? While there's some concern, Christian, while there's some conviction, while there's still a little tug, though small it might be, confess your sins to God and confess your condition to God. Cry out to Him for forgiveness and help. I must confess you, there's been many times in my Christian life and in my ministry when I've had to get along with God and ask God once again to give me a broken heart and to give me tears and concern and compassion dealing with people and all of the problems. There is a tendency to get a calloused heart. And Christians have no business with a calloused, hard heart. It needs to be tender. It needs to be a heart that can be broken and feel again. Well, I never want to have a broken heart again. Well, dear God, I never want to live without one again. I want to be broken for the things of God. I want a heart that knows how to weep over souls. I want a heart, a spiritual heart that's concerned about the lives of others. I want to know what it is to weep again over sin and over souls and over the will of God. I want to stay to that place where I'm more concerned about the will of God than what is convenient for me. Christian, ask Him to bring you back to that place where you care once again. Ask Him to bring you back to that place where you weep again for others. Ask Him to bring you back to that place again where you can feel His tug. The least little tug of God should be moving and disturbing to you if you don't respond to it. Christian, perhaps you've already come to that place where you don't care any longer. You have no feelings. You say, what do I do? Cry out to God anyway. Just do it because it's right. Don't do it. You don't have any feeling, any leadership, any tugging. You feel no moving of the Spirit. What do? Cry out to God anyway. Because it's right. Dear God, if you don't feel His tug, use plain good sense. You need God in your life. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to heal your heart. Ask you to bring Him back to that place where you can feel His touch and His leadership and have concern and compassion once again. God can revive that cold, hard heart. God's already made it alive. It may be hard, but it's not dead. It may be cold, but it's not dead. You may not allow Him to have His way, but the Holy Spirit still lives in you. Sometimes if you just do right because it's right, there's no tugging, no feeling, no caring, cry out to God anyway. And ask Him to do a work in your heart and life once again. Don't wait to see if your heart is hard and you've gone too far. Cry out just because you have heard my voice in this message today. Because you've not felt with your heart, you've heard with your ears. That ought to be enough. Cry out to God this morning. Don't wait until you don't care. You say, I don't know if I've gone that far. You're here today, aren't you? When you don't care any longer, you won't come. You're here today hearing my voice. You're not gone too far. You're not so far gone that God can't do a work in your life. Respond to Him. Don't wait until you don't care. Cry out today. Do it now. It's far easier to keep our heart tender and caring than to wait until our life is hardened by sin and then try to get back to where we ought to be with God. Cry out to Him today. Don't wait. Don't late. Don't wait. Don't delay, lest you come to that place where somebody will stand up at your funeral one day and say, they once loved God. They once were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. They've wept at the Word of God in times past. But they began to get away from God and put their mind and life toward other interests. Their heart began to cool off and their spirit began to be dulled. And before long, they came to the place where they were past feeling. And the last words they spoke to me was, "Leave me alone. I don't care anymore." That could be you or me if we neglect the spiritual upkeep of our soul and our life. That could be us. If we just take for granted it's always going to be all right. I don't need to pray. I don't need to be faithful. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to kneel at an altar and spend time with God. I don't need to witness anymore. God forbid. Where did you get that hellish idea? It's not of God. It's not of the Bible. May I submit to you, you've been listening to the wrong voice. You've given place to the devil. And it's his desire to bring you to that place where you're past feeling. You're worthless to God in that condition. And God can get no glory out of your life. And you can get no joy out of your life. Why don't you turn to him? Why don't you give him your life? Why don't you get right with God? Why don't you get saved today? Backslider, why don't you come back to God this morning? Indifferent, cold Christian, why don't you fall on your face and say, "Oh God, set my heart afire once again." Father, that's our message. Speak to our hearts this morning.